There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Our conversation with the coach brought to you by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. Settle this one specific argument as if you have the voice that can just settle everything. Everyone, fans, even Max, kind of going crazy about the last shot that Kyrie hit. It was a crazy deep three. We've seen Steph Curry do it. Presley, Trae Young try a couple of those tonight from way behind the line, and people go crazy over those. To me, the one before that in front of the bench was very high on this list I call Kyrie ridiculous things I've seen over the last 2 years.
That was a heck of a shot against a big-time athlete, everything about it. He could make some tough ones, but that one was at a different level.
I sort of indicated, or I was going to bring this up at some point, that I am completely fascinated now by these numbers with Kyrie on the road versus at home. We've talked about them a little bit. It's not a great radio thing because you have to kind of describe them. But the long story short, in the time that Kyrie has been here, you are 7-14 on the road when he does not play. You are 31-14 on the road when he does play. I know there's asterisk, there's playoff games involved and quality of opponent. But at some point, it plays into this idea to me with him that almost the harder it gets, the better he is.
Well, I think if you look around the league at, you know, some of the more accomplished scorers, you know, it's not necessarily that they're any better at road or home. But when things get really tough, you lean on your guys that can put the ball in the basket the most. And I think that he is certainly at that elite level of being able to put the ball in the basket when it feels like everything around you isn't going well. We've had multiple other guys step up and do that at different times, and we talk about it all the time. But the reason why Kyrie is because he's capable of doing it every night, and that's not an easy thing to do.
Putting aside how it turned out with Beal getting that fluke rebound and the putback and obviously boxing out and all that stuff, run us through your time parameters on fouling when up by three. Or do they change based on the game situation?
So that's one of the things that I think you never want to do as a coach is say exactly when you would foul
right.
and when you wouldn't foul. I will tell you this. It has a lot to do with how many timeouts the other team
right.
has. It has a lot to do with how comfortable you are getting the rebound, which did not happen. And then it has a lot to do with how comfortable you are with your ability to get the ball in bounds with your timeouts. And that's not a given either against certain teams. I felt like we could get the ball in bounds. I felt like we could secure the ball and get to the foul line. And I did not like the idea of Beal getting off of an action and getting one up.
Yep.
The other thing that happens and has happened even on the last possession of the game with them, they're great at crashing from outside, and so even if they missed one with 10 seconds on the clock, one of my biggest concerns was a putback, was a second chance three. So anyways, it's my college coach did a study on it, and in college, I will tell you, I would foul 2.5 to 7 seconds, and that's it, because there's no advance rule in college.
Right.
It's much, much different. And I've told you the story about the only time it happened, I think. Did I do that?
I don't.
Okay, so the only time it happened, this will take the whole time, so that's good. Nobody wants to listen to this other crap anyways.
Wow.
So
that hurt.
Not your. I mean,
uh-huh.
your stuff's all
uh-huh.
good. It's
yeah,
my
yeah.
crap
all
that
right.
they don't
sure.
listen to.
Sure it is.
So one of my first games of my first year in coaching, it goes to overtime because we let them shoot a three at the end. My college coach is killing me on text, and he has done this deal, this big research paper with one of the math professors at DePaul, and so he says you always have to foul 2.5 seconds to 7 seconds. Well, it doesn't show itself to be – we don't have that option again in a game until 2 years later in the Final Four against Michigan State. We go up three with 5.5 seconds left, And we come back to the huddle. Izzo calls timeout. And I say, we are going to foul. And we break the huddle, and we have this plan of attack to foul. We're going to wait till they take the second dribble, wrap them up, make sure they can't get past us, all this other stuff. And as we walk out of the huddle, I'm like, oh, my God, I hope he's right. And he said that he was sitting up there in the stands saying, you got to foul, you got to foul, you got to foul. And right when we fouled, he goes, oh, my God, I hope I'm right. and you know, we were both kind of like, I'm going to kill him if he wasn't right. And he was like, please be right, please be right. And Gordon gets a rebound, and we go on to the final game.
It's easy to write the term paper. It's another thing when 80 million people are watching your term paper play out.
I mean, can you imagine? That's the next time it happened. That's and right. We haven't fouled. I don't think I've ever fouled here in the NBA because it's always presented itself when they've had a timeout or I was worried that they were going to go right into a catch and shoot.
What's a timeout, without giving away the state secret then, what is a timeout worth to you in terms of time? How much
does
that
change? That's a good question. Yeah. That's a good question. This had more to do with the idea that if they shoot it and get a long rebound, they're going to get a wide open one.
All right. Well, congratulations. You did kill the majority of the time. I had a whole thing I was going to segue to talk about rebounding to Robert Williams because I want to talk about.
Well, everybody wants to talk about Robert
Williams. It's true, but I want to talk about the work he's doing that nobody's seeing. We're going to save that for another time, and then I was going to transition from Robert Williams into what you can work yourself into becoming in the league, which was going to bring me to John Collins and how, you know, he caused some problems, obviously, in the game in Atlanta. And he's just. On a night like this, the Hawks are what they are, and Lloyd is doing what he's doing with this roster. But when you say, all right, who is likely to cause problems here that maybe fans aren't familiar with, John Collins to me is that guy that causes problems.
Well, first of all, it's just like all these other teams that you play. Like, you go through, and there have been times in each of these guys' careers where they've been Celtic killers, right? Yep. Bazemore, yep. Jeremy Lin has had his way at different times against us. Deadman had some great games against us last year. You know, and obviously Vince Carter, I'm sure, had a ton of them before I got here. So at the end of the day, you got to go out and you got to play well. I think Collins and his kind of emergence here towards the end of last year and then at the start of this year, even though he was hurt and now he's playing more, man, he's got some talent. And his ability to get and play way above the rim and stretch it now to three, he looks like a guy who's going to be a good player for a long time.
Hey, fun fact, Vince Carter, until LeBron passed him this year, was the all-time leading scorer among visiting players in this building.
Yeah. So
I'm going to write a term paper. I'm going to write a term paper on it.
Then that's where we should start. It's amazing he's still playing. I mean, that's just an amazing
thing. Dirk last night. I mean, we've seen this in the NHL a lot the last few years, guys playing at 43, 44 years old. But I guess in some ways, should we maybe not be surprised when you consider how guys are taking care of themselves and whatever? This is the natural progression of that, isn't it?
I guess. I mean, I know how I feel. I haven't been on as good of a diet probably as Vince has the last 20 years. But I will say this. He's an incredible player, and he has transitioned his game to make up for getting older. And he just shoots it so well now. He's such a threat behind the arc.
All right, congratulations. You've used all the time.
That's the goal.
Well played. Celtics and Hawks next on the WROR Celtics Radio Network.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating. It's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.